Ride sharing is all the rave these days. Wherever you're headed, count on Lyft for rides in minutes. Whether you're riding solo or with friends, with Lyft, you've got options. Get picked up by one of their drivers who will get you where you need to go. When the ride ends, just pay and rate your driver through your phone. It's quick, it's easy, and just a couple taps away. Visit Lyft.com for more details. And if you haven't tried Lyft yet, but want to give it a whirl with a $50 ride credit, sign up at Lyft.com/invited/picturelockshow. That's right. If you're a new member to Lyft and in an eligible market, you can get a $50 ride credit with Picture Lock. Again, that's Lyft.com/invited/picturelockshow for a free $50 ride credit. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another Picture Lock Unlocked episode where I will be talking with writer-director Kyle Hamm of Reparation. It was a really good conversation about this film. And like I will say in the interview, this is one of those indie films that came across my desk recently and really just stood out as a well-done film and had a great vision. So it was great to be able to talk with him. Remember that this week, starting tomorrow, October 6th, the Real Independent Film Extravaganza will be taking place in the D.C. area. And of course, this Sunday, you can go to the Indie Capital Awards. We just talked about that on the last podcast with Anthony Green. So I hope to see you out there. If you are there, make sure that you stop by the red carpet, as yours truly will be on the red carpet conducting interviews for Picture Lock. And don't forget, folks, join the conversation. You can find Picture Lock on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. All social media is at Picture Lock Show. I'd love to hear from you. You can watch back episodes of the TV show at youtube.com/picturelockshow. You can download the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play Music, and other places podcasts are downloaded. Feel free to give the show a hearty review and 5 stars if you are enjoying it. It only helps to get Picture Lock out there even more, so I'd appreciate it. Don't forget to check out the website, picturelockshow.com, for movie reviews, news, and to subscribe to our newsletter to get a chance to win tickets for movie screenings in the DMV. If you're interested in being a guest on the show, you can fill out the form on the website and drop me a line if you're enjoying the show as well at picturelockshow@gmail.com. All right, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this Picture Lock Unlocked episode with Mr. Kyle Hamm.
Hi, this is Melissa Houghton, Executive Director of Women in Film and Video, and you're listening to Picture Lock.
Thanks for tuning in to Picture Lock. I'm your host, Kevin Sampson, and my next guest is a writer, director, producer, and editor who wore all hats for his directorial debut with the film Reparation. The film has gone on to win numerous awards since making its debut on the festival circuit last year. It's a film 20 plus years in the making, but each year must have helped it get that much better because it is one refreshing indie psychological thriller. On the line with me is writer-director Kyle Hamm. Welcome to Picture Lock, sir.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be here, Kevin.
I'm delighted to have you. The first question I always start out with is, when did you first fall in love with film?
Well, I think 5 years old when I begged and begged and begged my parents into taking me to see Star Wars. That was the original, you know, episode 4 in the theaters in 1977. And I remember 2 very clear images from that. The first of which was the big Fox logo. I mean, it was the first time I'd seen a movie in a theater. So I remember that big 20th Century Fox logo came on. Dun, 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 dun. And I was like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? And then, of course, that first big reveal of Darth Vader in the hallway in that movie, I was just, blown away. And I can't say that from then on I thought, like, I want to be a filmmaker. But I knew I loved movies from that very moment. Just the way it made my heart pound with Darth Vader walked on the screen, I just thought, oh, I love this.
That's a great story. I would have loved to have seen Star Wars for the first time in theaters when it came out. I mean, that just had to be an electric time in cinema, I think.
Yeah, it was really something. I don't remember how many times I got to go back and watch it again, but although I know I watched the Muppet movie when it came out on in the theaters, I probably watched it a dozen times.
Nice. All right, Kyle. So let's get a little history lesson. Tell us how you got started in the industry.
Well, I studied theater in college, but dabbled around with some kind of, you know, documentary type of stuff as well. And, but I got an internship with the Television Academy, you know, the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, the people that put on the Emmy Awards and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They have an internship program that, I managed to sneak into somehow. And that was right after college. So they put me on a TV movie that was shooting down in Austin, Texas, and just asking around, on the set, you know, I asked folks, you know, what do I need to do to build a career as a director, as a writer director? And they said, oh, you should work for a director. You should be a director's assistant. So, the director on that film hired me as his assistant. So I sort of apprenticed, you could say, under him for the next 5 or 6 years. Every TV movie or pilot or feature film that he worked on, I would work on, and that was my film school, because wow. I was deeply involved in everything with pre-production, production, post-production, delivery, development, casting, you know, I got to sort of learn the craft through every point along the way. So I think that's where I really learned the craft of filmmaking. The art of filmmaking, I think, is something that you have to sort of have inside you and develop inside you. But the craft of it, you know, how important pre-visualization and how important pre-production are, you know, that's definitely what I learned working for Robert Isco.
Yeah, you know, and we're going to get into reparation, but one of the things, I sit down and I watch so many films, but from the beginning of it, I felt like I was in the hands of a director and someone that knew, like you just said, his craft, I'll geek out with you on that in a bit. But since you have been producing since the 90s and, you know, like you said, you've had all this time to kind of learn the different aspects business-wise as well as cinematically. What did you learn as a producer that got you ready for reparation?
Really just that you can never be over-prepared. You can never think things through too much. There's no such thing as overthinking anything. you know, there definitely comes a point on set where you have to be decisive too. So I think those are the two things, is like when you're preparing to go out and make the film, you can put infinite energy into it and time, and it's never too much. But once you're on set and once the camera is up and people need an answer from you as a director, whether that's your cast, whether that's somebody on the crew, if they need a decision or an opinion, you have to give it and give it quickly, and give it confidently. Sometimes on occasion you're making a guess. What you're doing is just, you have no idea what's the right thing in that thing, but you're taking a guess, but you have to do it and do it decisively. And that kind of helps build a sort of confidence on the set that you, as the director, as sort of the captain of the ship, you know what you want, you know what you're doing.
Right.
Even if on occasion you're kind of, quote unquote, BSing your way through that, which thankfully I didn't have to do very much, because Steve and I had, my co-writer and I had spent so much time with the script and done so many rewrites of it for Hollywood execs and whatever else, that, you know, I knew the characters and their backstories and everything inside and out on this one. So there weren't that many times where I didn't have a pretty good feeling for the answer.
You're listening to Picture Lock. I'm talking with writer-director of Reparation, Kyle Hamm. All right, Kyle, let's talk about Reparation. What is the film all about?
Well, Reparation is about a troubled Air Force veteran who finds clues to his lost memories and his daughter's art. He has a three-year hole in his memory from when he was in the security forces in the Air Force and, you know, got a medical discharge for having multiple psychological issues. And 10 years later, some old buddy of his from the Air Force security forces shows up in his little small town, Indiana, and wants answers that he can't give. And his 8-year-old daughter recognizes the guy, which is an instant mystery to everybody around. Nobody understands how the girl could have the memories or, you know, what that means. You know, for us, it was really a story about balance and about the extremities we can go to and how we get ourselves back from there. You know, Charlotte, the daughter in the film, her name is Charlotte. You know, she asked the question right up front. You know, she says, you know, sometimes we get knocked out of balance and we spend the rest of our lives trying to knock ourselves back in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it, you know, we not only wanted to say something about what our veterans and servicemen and women are going through right now, but I think it's something we all confront when we've been pushed too far or when we make the wrong decision or we screw up. How far do we have to go to bring ourselves back into balance?
You know, man, I really would like to, maybe it has to be a separate interview where we like just go through this movie because, as I said, and I told you earlier, I feel like if, Memento, A History of Violence and The Sixth Sense kind of had a baby, it would be, Reparation. So the mystery is there. Right from the opening scene, and I was hooked, and I know a lot of, different reviews that I've seen on the film have said that the same thing about it. So, man, I don't want to give anything away, but I do want to talk about your techniques and how you put this together. Like I said in the opening, it's a film that's over 20 plus years in the making, so I feel like it was definitely a passion project for you. But in terms of living with these characters for so many years, maybe you could talk about how that developed into a clear sense of direction for you on the set.
Yeah, absolutely. This was based on a play that one of my college professors wrote, and I saw it when I was a student. And when I started working in Hollywood, I reached out to him and said I'd like to make it into a movie, and he said, let's work on that together. So that sort of launched my quote-unquote graduate school in screenwriting. So I was working with this veteran playwright, and for a while we were sort of holding on to the play, and it wasn't until we kind of kicked the play to the can and said, let's start over. Like, we know what the story is and we know who the characters are, but let's find a way to start over on it, because we weren't getting it right as a film. And what we actually did was take each of our principal characters, the you know, six or eight, you know, primary characters in the film, and we sketched out their entire life story. We wanted to know not just what their arc was within the context of this story. We wanted to know where they came from and what makes them tick, what makes them make the decisions that they do. And that was hugely helpful in all this. But what that also did is it illuminated this new structure that we could take, because when we looked at the whole story and we said, all right, given what we know about everybody, whose story is this to tell? And that's when it became clear to us that it was Charlotte, the daughter's story. She was the closest person as an audience member. She's the closest point of perspective that we have.
Right.
Because she's trying to figure out this thing that happened that she can't quite comprehend. And so that really set us up for a new structure. It was a lot. I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun once we hit that point. It was a lot of fun to start because we, that point we came up with, it was immediately clear to us what the opening and closing scenes of the film were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, Bob in the truck with his daughter, and this thing has happened to him, and we're going to have to try to figure out what and why. And that gave us a structural freedom that was a lot of fun. So we basically took everything we knew about our characters and their life story, all those intersection points, and then just mapped it out. We had a huge wall where we just had note cards color-coded for each character and each theme, and then said, how does this journey make the most sense, even though it's a non-linear kind of journey and we're going to be jumping around a little bit in time, what is it that makes the most narrative sense? As a director on set, having been through that as the writer, as a co-writer, that really made my job as a director much easier because I wasn't having to come up with connective tissue between these scenes in different times and different places. You know, we had written it in a way that all that flowed. So a lot of times, for example, when you see films that have flashbacks or that go back in the past and they come back to present, there's a instinct directors have to make those worlds look really different, to try to distinguish them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they do that with color or with tone or music or whatever. And so I made the opposite decision of that, which was, how can I blend these to maximum effect? How can I make it, the lines between these worlds, almost indistinguishable? Because that would allow us to be sort of in Bob's shoes.
Right.
You know, where those worlds are blended and you get lost and forget which one you're in, which foot is in which world.
You're listening to Pick Shock. I'm talking with the writer-director of Reparation, Kyle Hamm. And Kyle, you know, on that note, in terms of the blend, you know, a lot of times when I see films that deal with post-traumatic stress, especially with, you know, our military and armed forces, I think one of the things that I really enjoyed about this film is that you realize that it's a part of him. I think Bob and then his wife, Virginia Newcomb, was played by Virginia Newcomb. She kind of suppresses it. And in some ways, it's kind of like a way to kind of help him. But at the same time, I think like she doesn't really want to deal with it. But yet, as the audience, as you said, with our eyes in with his daughter, we just get to see how he's still, it doesn't go away. And I think the way that you kind of touch on it without, for lack of a better word, it wasn't like a preachy thing. It just quickly blended in and out, and we get it, and we know when we're in his head, we know when we're in Charlotte's head. I think it was really well done.
Thank you. It was you have to sort of plan a lot of that stuff out, but again, making sense of the character's journey first was, made a lot of that so much easier.
Can you talk a little bit about the cast? Because I thought this cast was really solid. For me personally, I had never seen, I think it's, forgive me, Mark Menchaca. Is that how you say his name? Virginia Newcomb and John Huertas before this film. But I feel like after seeing the film, I'm like, oh, these are some people to watch. So what was it like working with your cast?
We were so fortunate to find the caliber of actors that we had for this film. You know, when you're doing a fairly low budget film like this, and you really can't afford to pay your actors. I mean, you're paying them, but you're not paying them very much. I mean, John Huertas was on one of the most popular shows on TV, a show called Castle, and he would make, before lunch on Castle, he would make more than he made on the entire film for us. Right. So
right.
He was doing it not because he wanted a paycheck. He was doing it because he had fallen in love with the character of Jerome, and he thought this is how he wanted to spend his hiatus from the TV show, was getting to do something very, very different. So in that respect, when everybody's doing it for the love of the character, the love of the project itself, I think you really get these kind of inspired performances, because you have to be getting something great out of it, because you're not getting a lot of money out of it, you know. They were, you know, wonderful, absolutely committed, you know, through and through. And Mark Menchaca is, he may not be a familiar face. I mean, he had a small role on Homeland several years ago, on the first couple of seasons of Homeland. He's coming up in a new Netflix series, actually, that Jason Bateman's doing called Ozark. It sounds like it should be really good.
Nice.
And Virginia Newcomb, who plays Lucy, she just has this... She brought this warmth to that character that I think almost any other actress would have played that role with so acerbic and so hard-edged. And we saw that when we were casting. We saw that in, when actors were auditioning, that, they wanted to play all of her edge.
Mm-hmm,
and here Virginia Newcomb came and had that edge, but then that tremendous heart that she found a way to bring to that character.
And I think
and
not
like
only
you said it, with the, yeah,
I was gonna say, I think not only that, and maybe there's a reparation too down the road, but I feel like she played the character in such a way where we know she's broken as well from her past, but yet we don't really get the answer to it. So I that goes to her craftsmanship in terms of portraying the role. You can tell she's broken too, but she's able to display that toughness, that whatever happened in her past, we know that's why she's so tough now. But like you said, also the warmth to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and she definitely, in terms of you've mentioned how she deals with, you know, a husband who's got these multiple levels of trauma in his past that are still haunting him, and she deals with it the only way that she's ever found success in dealing with things, which is you move on.
Right.
You move forward, you know, you leave it behind you. The past is the past. It's there for a reason. You know, don't live there. Live in the present, live in the future. But, you know, it can also, that can also be a form of denial. And unfortunately, in this story, that, you know, it feeds into what I think our military servicemen and women and first responders, like police officers, deal with all the time, which is that containment. Like, they're trained to compartmentalize and contain whatever they've seen or whatever they've gone through, rather than talk about it.
Right.
And Lucy's choice here, which I think goes against what you would normally expect from a wife, right? Or somebody who loves that person, which is, talk to me about. You know, for her, it's like, no. Like, why would we sit around and talk about that? Let's move on.
You're listening to Picture Lock. I'm talking with the writer-director of Reparation, Kyle Hamm. One thing I wanted to touch on was the cinematography. I don't know who your cinematographer was. I probably should have researched that and looked it up before we started talking. But let me tell you, the main character and his wife live on a farm in a small town. The greens of the crops and the wides of the land, they're so lush, beautifully shot. And obviously for there is a section, a road in which you have to go across a bridge. It's one way going, one way coming. You have to wait your turn. And it actually made the poster. I mean, the imagery is just beautiful. So could you talk a little about the cinematography and your cinematographer?
Yeah, Jay Silver. Everybody should know that guy. He was one of our most valuable players, so to speak, on the set. I mean, I would go to war with Jay. he did such an amazing job, and with a very, very limited resources, he had to be incredibly creative in terms of how we lit certain things. And you know, he and I worked together when we were, picking out the locations and finding all the right places to shoot. And of course, Putnam County, Indiana, was just a beautiful place to shoot. And you know, we went there. We went to this small, fairly rural county to shoot this because I knew that we'd have everything we need, and that those covered bridges and the cornfields and everything, rolling hills. But Jay and I worked together on the schedule to plan it out so that we could try to be in those places at the right time of day for where the sun was going to be, and really take care to just make the county, make the way the film was shot just as gorgeous as we could.
Yeah.
I thought Jay did a tremendous job with that. And, you know, the other thing is that we had a camera operator and Steadicam guy named Evan Barthelman, who's a longtime friend of mine. He was actually the first person on the crew. He was one of the first phone calls I made when I said, hey, let's go do this movie. He was the one that introduced me to Jay. And so right there, I knew the film was going to be gorgeous because I would have not just a great experienced cinematographer who was willing to come and work with a first-time director, but also we would have a cameraman, camera operator and Steadicam guy. And most low-budget indie films don't have both. You can't afford to have both. But in our case, we did. And that allowed, having a camera operator separate from your director of photography allowed Jay to be on set and not be worried about looking through the lens, and not be worried about what lens we were on, or whether he needed to switch the camera from sticks to handheld to Steadicam or whatever. He was able to stand back at the monitor, stand back behind the camera, look at the whole thing, talk to his gaffer, talk to his gee grip, and really tweak the scene and look for visual metaphor with me and everything in a way that if he was responsible for the camera itself, he wouldn't have been able to do that nearly as much.
All right, Kyle, so wrapping up here, how can people see the film, and how can people follow on social media?
Yeah, so we're on, Facebook and Twitter and everything. Basically, we're Reparation Movie, so that's the easiest way to find us. Our website, reparationmovie.com, always has the sort of up-to-date, whether we're screening theatrically or being released online. We're scheduled for a release on iTunes November 1st. iTunes and Amazon and Google Play and Vimeo, those platforms initially November 1st. Which means folks will be able to pre-order it on iTunes, by mid-October.
Awesome. All right. Well, writer-director of Reparation, Kyle Hamm, thank you so much for coming on Picture Lock. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Appreciate it.